Good morning.
Morning.
Gospel Rich Hymns. This I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. We'll be going over question 39 this morning. We'll be continuing on the thought of the effectual calling, the benefits that those who belong to Christ have in this world because of the effectual calling. This morning we'll be looking at sanctification. Our question this morning is, what is sanctification? Answer being that sanctification is a work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Let's pray and ask God's help before we go further. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for a beautiful day today, Lord. We thank you that our sins are forgiven, that you nailed them to a cross, Father, and you have separated us as far as the east is from the west, Lord. And that you loved us so much, Lord, not to leave us in that sinful state, but you sent forth your Holy Spirit into us, Lord, to sanctify us, to help us die to sin further and further and become more and more holy like our God. Father, we pray that you'd help us as we open your book this morning, Lord, and go over this doctrine of sanctification. Give us insight into this, Lord. Help us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask and pray it. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll be looking at verse 13. And we'll see that it is a work of God's free grace. Verse 13, it says here, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Notice here that it says sanctification of the Spirit. By grace you are saved. By grace you are sanctified as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, I just want to read a verse here to you. Verse 12, and it says here, "And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." Thus, who of us are saved, there's a place of rest. There's a place of safety. Because our God did not just call us to something that he didn't fully mean to bring us through. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at a few texts here. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world." And notice here that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame before him. If you would, I'd like to show you something in the Old Testament. If you turn to the book of Zechariah, I want to look at two texts here in verses in chapters 3 and chapter 4. Close to the New Testament, Zechariah, a few books back. Zechariah chapter 3, let's look at verses 1 through 5. And we'll see here that God is the sanctifier. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The accuser of the brethren here accusing the high priest. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Is this not one of my chosen ones that you're accusing? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Sin covered, righteousness declared, sanctification. Look in chapter 4 here, just on the same page. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is God's spirit that accomplishes, not our efforts. Efforts, that is, in the flesh. If you would turn back to Ephesians. Let's look at chapter 2. And most of us could quote this, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. By grace, a gift, God's free gift. The very one that died in our place gives us the gift of everything in heavenly places where we can accomplish these things through his spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, while we're here, look at verses 23 and 24. We'll see here that we're renewed by the Spirit. And it says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To put off those former things and to put on the new man. And you notice here, we were created. That new birth that we received was created in righteousness and true holiness. Romans 12, 2, you don't have to turn there, and it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how do we renew our minds? Being in the Word. What we're doing right now, opening the Word, teaching, preaching the Word in fellowship, surrounding yourselves. Set your affections on things which are above and not those things which are below. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with the presence of God. That's how you renew your mind. Isaiah chapter 26, if you'll turn there. I love this little passage of Scripture. It's a good reference from Romans 12. Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 4. It says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter. And in verse 3 here, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. A mind fixed upon Christ. A spirit-filled walk. Not looking to self, but looking into the one who accomplished all the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new creatures, sanctified and set apart for the service of our God. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 3, in this process of sanctification, we'll see here that you may have heard it said like this: I may not be where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Sanctification is a process. And God's not just going to let you sit on the sidelines forever. He's going to push you into places to where your faith is going to be tested. Calamity may come upon your life. And the whole point of that is to drive you to him, to separate you from this world. Colossians chapter 3, let me get there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Romans 8, we know this, that it says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to his image, molded. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Conformed to his image. And we know the scripture says that Jesus was made perfect in his human stay here through suffering. Suffering is a part of sanctification. Squeezing the sin of this world out of us, removing us from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Romans 6:11, if you'll turn there. We'll see here the truth of what Christ has really done for us, and that of sin being able to crucify our flesh. Verse 11, it says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin no longer has dominion over. We are set free from its power. Romans 7, if you turn over a chapter, look at verses 4 and 6. Verse 4, Paul says here, wherefore by Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Notice here in verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We're free from sin. We're free from sin's bondage. We're free from sin's power. We have been given the right to be called the sons of God, that we can walk forth in this world and be different. Show forth mercy, justice, and humility. Things the world has no idea of how to do. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. And I said this earlier, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That song we sing, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. We are dead unto sin. We're hid in that safe place. Those who rest in the shadow of the Almighty, they will find rest under his wings. Safety. Colossians 3, if you turn there. And we'll look at the doctrine of mortification here. And I want you to notice something about mortification in Colossians 3 and also Romans chapter 8, that it's a spiritual thing. It's not something that you can just set your mind to do and say, this sin that I've been doing in my life, I determine that I will do it no more. I've been there. That's like a New Year's resolution. You do good for a few days and then you fall right back into it. It's a spiritual thing. Is something that you need the help of God with. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouths. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Notice that you were created in it. It's not something that you work up. You're renewed in knowledge of him that created you. Created you in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, let's look at a parallel to that. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But notice this right here. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Turn also to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Sanctification, a work of the Spirit by God's free grace. Chapter 6, let's look for verses 9 through 11. It says here, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Such was me. "But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus." And notice here, "and by the Spirit of our God." All things that we have in Christ Jesus, it is by grace. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doest thou glory as if thou had not received it?" All that we have in this life, our gifts, our talents, our salvation, we have absolutely nothing to boast about. It's all been a gift by our God and our Creator. Paul said this, "If I glory anything, I glory in the Lord, that I know Him." Our question this morning was, what is sanctification? The answer is, sanctification is a work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Amen. Let's close. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the sanctifier, that you don't just leave us alone in our state after you save us and just set a big set of rules in front of us knowing that we couldn't accomplish this. But you empower us by your Spirit, Lord, to die more and more day by day unto sin. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your love. We just thank you so much for the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray for the rest of this morning, dear Lord, with the children. The next hour, as our brother opens the word and preaches, we pray that you'd be with him, you'd be with us. Above all, Lord, we pray that you'd grace us by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.